to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and a daily weed user. Blaze it! Happy 420, y'all! Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and porn maker, and I am holding a joint I just rolled with strawberry cough and green crack, because that is the best way to make me a very silly, chatty boy.
Ooh, interesting. So I'm going to be smoking a strain called Mob Boss today.
Ooh, I like that one.
Oh, I should say right off the top, content note. Maybe I'll put a content note before we start this. God, this is going to be such a frazzled episode. This is our annual 420 episode. If you're not familiar, I think this is the fifth year that we've done this. Mm-hmm. And every year we start off sober, and then we get high, and then we ask each other sex and dating related hypothetical questions. And it's a good time, but I do like to give a content note because I know some folks are uncomfortable with drug-related content and listening to people who are high. So if that's not your thing, this is probably not an episode you'll enjoy, and that's totally fine. But what I was going to ask you, Bex, is do you find – I've heard rumors that if you mix two strains together, sometimes it can be extra intense. Do you find that to be true?
For me, I find when I mix two strains, it tends to – like, it does get me – higher, but it also gets me more fucked up. Like, if I'm smoking, well, there are some strains that I can smoke and like also be functional and go about my day and be doing things. And if I want to feel inebriated and silly and like foggy, that's when I will mix two strains, because smoking it tends to muddy their effects in my experience, and things get a little more blurred. Whereas sometimes I can smoke one strain and stay a little clearer, I guess.
Yeah. I love kinksters who are also into intoxicants, because I feel like they're extra thoughtful about headspaces with regards to intoxicants and how to sort of meet that out in a way that makes sense for them. And yeah, it's lovely.
I have this one strain. I don't have it right now, but I have a delivery in transit of it that I have discovered is just truth serum. I smoke it and I find out what I'm going to say as it's coming out of my mouth. Mm. I just think out my mouth consistently, which is an interesting and fun thing to find out as someone who is into intoxicants. And like,
I would be great for a role play. Yeah.
Yeah. I like felt myself getting high and I was like, this is a kinky strain.
Yeah, like some kind of role play where you're being questioned about something. That would be great for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's also just something off-putting and disorienting in a fun way to, like, feel that way, to feel like, oh, I'm just saying that. I'm just, wow, okay, wow, I guess, all right, yep. I'm just extremely candid right now. Like, that is a very quick way to also have me feel like very subby and like, oh gosh, okay.
Yeah, any uncontrollable sensations I have some kink feelings about for sure. Okay, so before we dive into the high part of this episode, I did want to briefly talk about, so weed is legal where I am currently, which is New York City, as of pretty recently, and weed is also legal where I live in Toronto. But weed is still not legal in a lot of places. And there are even places where it is legal and people are nonetheless incarcerated for drug-related crimes, which is just an awful thing. And these laws are enforced in really racist ways and have been from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so I do think it's important to mention off the top here that, you know, we don't support that shit. And I really want to point you to an organization called Last Prigionate. No, already slurring my words. I really want to point you toward an organization called The Last Prisoner Project, which is at lastprisonerproject.org. They support people currently incarcerated on cannabis charges through financial assistance and scholarships. And they also help clear the records of people formerly incarcerated on cannabis charges through their Cannabis Clemency Initiative and Prison to Prosperity Reentry Program, which all sounds really great. They could use your money. I threw a little money at them today because it's 420, and that just seemed like the best possible way to celebrate other than doing this show, I think. And that, again, is lastprisonerproject.org. I will put the link in the show notes. I think that would be a nice way for you to celebrate 420 if you have a few extra dollars to throw their way. And now there shall be the traditional yearly moment where we step away from the mic to get high and I put a silly sound effect the likes of which you would hear if people were getting high in a cartoon, because that tickles me to do. So I'm going to go smoke my pipe. Bex is going to go smoke his joint, and we're going to get into this.
Yes.
Hello, I'm back.
Welcome back.
Matt was watching the screen intermittently while I was smoking, and they were like, oh, Bex is back. Oh, he's talking. He's saying something. And I was like, I don't have my headphones on. I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah, I was fully just talking to me.
Oh, okay. Like, you, well, that'll going be fun to... for me to edit.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to come back and there's going to be a bunch of muttering, mostly me being like, okay, I've got the gravity bong and the fire. Where's my fire? We've invented fire.
I was entranced standing at the window as I was smoking my pipe, because when I'm at Matt's house, I smoke by the window like an adult, whereas when I'm in my own home, I smoke wherever the fuck because I'm a child.
Same.
But I was standing at the window, and there's a girl out in the courtyard below who is jumping rope, and I was just sort of watching her and getting progressively higher and going, I haven't seen someone jump rope in a long time. And that takes me back. And I just went down on like a memory wormhole about jumping rope. It's fine.
Oh my God. Also, Ash just messaged me. I forgot. They are on their way from work.
Okay.
They're on their way home. So they may walk in at some point. This is a silly episode.
Yeah, it's fine.
Either they will be quiet and we won't notice anything, or there will be a silly cameo when I go, Pat, hello! And it'll be a bloop or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of feel like all of this is bloops, or all of this is the show.
Yeah, that's how this episode tends to go.
It's true. It's actually really hard to make the call when I'm editing. But what I was going to say is, I love that I confidently was like, I'm going to write half of the hypotheticals questions. And then I said to you, would you like to write some hypotheticals questions? And then we both, without checking with each other, outsourced it to our partners.
Okay, listen, I wrote plenty.
Oh, okay. And I'm sorry. I did not know that. I apologize. I misspoke.
I wrote them in about 15 minutes, about 2 hours ago, but I did write them, is the
okay.
thing.
Okay.
And I got high while I wrote them, you know, in the right mood. Well.
I'm sorry.
It was a while ago. Anyway.
I shouldn't have made assumptions.
You shouldn't have.
That's on me.
And.
Yeah.
Ash actually just sent them to me. Was like, oh, you're doing hypotheticals? These are questions. Here you go.
Oh, that's such an ADHD move. That's so funny. Matt, like, wrote them in a note, like, a day or two ago and was like, there, the questions are there for you. And I was like, wow, you're so ahead of schedule. God, I do things so close to deadlines.
That's amazing.
Can't not.
No, that so speaks to our partners, because mine heard that we were doing hypotheticals, hid in the bathroom at work for 10 minutes so that they could get them in before we started recording, and sent me 4.
Wow. That's devotion.
Yep.
I feel
peak
that in
ADHD
my bones.
Pethead, though. Yeah.
Well, I feel like in honor of these two wonderful people who we are both blessed to know, I feel like we should start with a Matt question and an Ash question.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Matt understands the Dildorks so deeply, I feel.
Oh my God.
I haven't looked at these questions, by the way. Okay. I mean, I glanced at them I just looked at keywords. I didn't really absorb their meaning. Mm-hmm. I just was checking. But okay, the first question is from my spouse, Matthew Bishop. If Fleshlight offered to produce a stroker of one of your holes and sell it, which hole would you pick? And would you do it?
Yes, immediately yes, absolutely, and my cunt, 100%.
Huh. I kind of had a sense that that's what you were going to say, oddly enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Like, I mean, A, just because it is the hole I prefer to have fucked, and like, right. I mean, I guess we could kind of do something of my mouth, but... it's not going to do any of the things my mouth does when it's sucking dick, and it's going to look freakish coming out of the end of a fleshlight, so no thank you.
I feel like you're actually just stating a very strong opinion about mouth fleshlights in general right now. I feel like you're kind of dragging mouth fleshlights.
I think so, but like it would be particularly surreal. You must admit it would be particularly surreal to see your own mouth looking back out of the end of a fleshlight. Like, it would be
particularly... Yeah, that's part of your face. That feels very close to home.
Yeah.
That's Uncanny Valley. I feel that. Yeah. I think that if I saw a cunt that looked exactly like my cunt, I probably wouldn't even totally realize that it looked exactly like my cunt. I just don't spend that much time looking directly at it, I guess.
See, I would, but only because I do a lot of that, particularly recently, the more and more porn I create.
Right,
spend a lot of time, like, zoomed all the way in on my cunt. So I've seen, like, a lot of pictures and videos where I am so turned on that you can see, like, my insides in a way that's really cool and hotter than I'm articulating while I'm high. But, like, it's wild to be looking at your own cunt and be like, wow, that's my G-spot. Holy shit.
Go check out Billy Lore, everybody. Go Google Billy Lore right now. It's an ad.
At Billy Lore on Twitter. This
is a commercial for your porn.
It's, like, recent in my media tab, too. Like, it will not be hard to find. But I retweet it all the fucking time because it's hot. Anyway.
Your cunt is not buried. You wear your cunt on your sleeve.
Exactly. It is out in the world. And I spend a lot of time staring at it, and like I would deeply enjoy it being a fleshlight. Mm-hmm. That would be really cool. And like, depending on, like, there are definitely strokers I can use on my own dick with my T growth, and I would absolutely fuck myself if I could. Oh my god. Anyway. Thank you for this excellent question / new fantasy.
Carry on. Yeah, right? This is the best that hypotheticals can be, is when it actually does create a weird new fantasy and you're like, whoa, never thought about that. I am very much debating whether I would want my cunt or my mouth. I have gotten very good reviews on both sets of lips, I will say. And I have written a lot of articles about giving blowjobs. So I feel like that's more enduringly a part of my legacy. So it probably makes sense to
it be a part of... It is the stronger brand decision.
Yeah. I feel like fewer people actually are curious about my labia than are curious about my BJs, which is a strange sentence to say, but...
So you're thinking marketability here.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I'm just thinking, what do I want to own in my house? Although on the marketability question, still probably my junk. You get the whole chaser market too. Might as well steal their money.
You have a marketing plan. This is amazing.
Listen, I'm not marketing to them, but they will be a byproduct and I'm going to take their money.
Do it.
I'm not going to fuck them. I'm going to take their money.
I think that this makes sense for us. I think we've actually said the exact perfect right things.
Yes, agreed. And also, now I have realized that there needs to be a T-Dick stroker out in the world. Like, even if it is not mine, there are a great many really great T-Dicks out there. But, like, there needs to be one. Jesus. Anyway, next question. This one is from my partner, Ash. If you had to make one common misconception about sex or kink into something that's true,
whoa, what would you pick? That is a fucking brain explosion of a question. What?
I know. I read it, immediately refused to think about it, and then waited until right now. So I still don't have an answer.
I might be too high for this question.
I read it and was like, oh no. Oh dear.
My brain, I literally felt a sensation of my brain expanding as it just, it was like a brain boner. I was like, oh my God, there's so many directions that this can go in. Fuck.
Right.
Ash, what the fuck? It's so funny that our partners are so good at writing these questions, almost as if they are like robots who have been trained on the Dildorks to make up these questions. Like, it's like an algorithm.
Probably combined. I mean, even alone, they probably rank in the highest number of, like, listens to our show.
Oh, for sure.
Right. I mean, like, if we were to take the sum total.
To this show.
Yeah. Of their history, like.
Yeah.
There is no better historian of the Dildorks than those two.
Okay, wait. Was it a misconception about sex or about kink?
Either. It's up to you.
Oh, fuck. That's the worst. Oh, my God. There's so many options. Fuck.
And the thing is, right, there are plenty that, like, because my brain is like, some of these would be hot if they were true. I don't want it to be, but like, it's kind of hot though. And then like, but I'm trying, you want to also think of one that would be like, better for the world, or at least neutral.
I thought of one. I actually thought of one, but yes. I have to say it before I forget it. Okay, yes, so go. Do you know the porn star Connor Habib?
Yes.
Gay male porn star. Mm-hmm. Clever. He had a thread on Twitter many years ago that I remember vividly because I was following it while I was at work and I was supposed to be working because it was so interesting, where he was saying a lot of people think that sex is inherently good. Like, if you have sex, that is just like good. Like, just no matter what the tone of the sex, like, just having sex is like a good thing and a good experience, and you should be grateful to be having it. Like, any sex is better than no sex, basically.
The whole, like, even like any pizza is good pizza kind of theory.
Yeah. And he was like, I just want to argue that sex itself is neutral and it can be like transcendent, and it can also just be like kind of nothing. Like, you kind of just like don't get swept away in it, and you're just kind of there, and maybe it's like kind of unpleasant, or maybe it's just kind of like literally neutral. Like, you just don't really have a strong feeling about it. He was just arguing that sex is not inherently some like big amazing force that like sweeps you away, and people were like tearing him apart on this. They were like, you must be having bad sex, and like, you must not know what real sex is like. And it's like, he's a porn star, he knows some things about sex.
Yeah. That's
I don't know if I'm doing justice to his argument, really. This is just kind of cobbled together. This is like years and years old. I also
remember this, and like, you're making a lot of sense. And like, no, I think that's absolutely a thing that's true, and that like in reality is worth unpacking, because like, and is certainly a thing that I have grown to understand more as I've gotten older. That like, I mean, we've talked about this recently on the show, that like, we are no longer like, yes, I would rather be having sex than anything else. We're
is it going to be good? And like, how late do I have to stay up? And
right. What do I have to do to get this? There's a new season of this show I like on Netflix.
I don't know if that's my sex drive getting lower or just me getting wiser and realizing the different values of things compared to what I used to think. I really don't know. So I guess my point was that I was trying to get to was, I wish that sex really was like that, where it was like, you know, I guess assuming it's consensual, it would always be, even if it was like not that great, it would emotionally be so sort of magical and lovely just to be having sex that you would be like swept away in it in a nice way, rather than having to sometimes have sex where you feel like you're like trapped in your body, or you're like, I don't really know why I'm here, or like, you know, there's just some kinds that just don't quite get there. And I wish that fewer people had to experience that, although then we would be lessening kind of the breadth of what sex is. So I don't know.
Right. That'd be a bummer. But like, also,
this is such a stoner answer. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
No, that's good. We're here for stoner 80 answers.
80 minutes
no,
later. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's what I do. We are here for weird stoner answers.
It is true.
The vibe of this show.
I feel like we always prepare so many questions and then we get to like five of them.
Yeah, you sent me a message and you were like, if you could prepare like 8 to 10 questions, I was like, sure, Kate.
Sure. You know, just in case.
No, and I did. I followed the assignment. Like,
I'm really genuinely happy and grateful that you did, friend. I appreciate it.
Oh God, I have to answer this question now.
It's so fucking hard. It's a mind puzzle.
Know. And see, the thing is, you started talking and I was like, okay, I know how like Kate's brain works. She will start saying the answer and I'll be like, oh, she's thinking about that. Oh yeah, that makes sense. And I'll have a second to like gather my thoughts and get my idea. And then you were so fucking clever that I was just like, wow. And now I don't have an answer. Well, okay. The thread I was following, I guess I think out loud for a minute until I say something clever or just come up with a reason to ask a question.
That's what the Dildorix is.
Yeah. but what I was thinking about was a lot of those silly misconceptions around how to not get pregnant, like the high school ones. Mm-hmm. If we could take just like one of those and make birth control way more accessible.
Oh.
Like, I don't know.
That's so smart.
Something that is like weird and like probably harmless. That's like, I don't know, stuff where it's like, yeah, I don't know, drink a combination of things or whatever, and it'll absolutely, you know, be birth control. I don't know. I'm too high for this, and I would have to do more Googling because I don't.
The idea that this just made me think about was, what if, you know, there's a misconception that if you wear more than one condom at a time, it becomes more effective. So people will sometimes wear two or three because they're like, well, that's got to be super safe. And it's actually way less safe because the condoms will break that way. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish that that one was true so that if you really, really, really need to not get pregnant, you can pack a few on there.
Yeah.
I think that that's actually a really nice kind of biohack, if you will.
I like that one. Yeah, no, that's a good one. Thank you. I knew there was something there.
I think that's more basic than you were envisioning. I think you were thinking birth control more broadly. I just went to condoms.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that works. I'll take it.
Okay. Cool. Do you want another question? And then one that's a little bit intimate.
Oh.
A little bit. That's how I would describe this question. It is a little bit intimate.
Okay.
From my spouse, Matthew Bischoff. If you could body swap with each other for a day, what would you do?
Oh.
Oh, yikes. And also, friend, if this gives you a gender feeling that you're not enjoying, we can sweep away.
No, I would wear so many pretty dresses. Oh, my God.
Okay. I just wanted to check on that because I realized as I was saying it, should probably check on that.
No, it's fine. I would wear pretty dresses. I wear pretty dresses in my own body too, but I don't own nearly as many. And presumably your body would be near your closet.
This is true.
that would be my guess.
Never far from my treasures.
Yeah. I don't know. That was just my first thought because that's, I don't know. I was like, that's what Kate does with Kate's body. I don't know.
That's so interesting that your brain went to a clothing place because mine kind of did also. Like I was like, I just think that your like pop punk look is so good on you. And I went through a phase when I was much younger where I really, really wanted to be able to pull off that look. And I just like, couldn't really, I don't know, I think I'm too femmy or something. It just like never really worked. I never really got to be like Amy Lee or anybody who I wanted to be for that brief period.
You have that picture in that leather jacket and stuff. Like you definitely have pictures of younger you that like have that vibe.
I would like try for it, but I feel like you need the attitude and kind of like the just the vibe to go with it. I just never had that. I was always just like shy and weird.
I mean, I had to be a boy to do it, so I don't know. I can't help you.
Yeah, but I mean, I definitely would wear something involving a studded belt. I think that's for sure a thing I would do. And like a lot of leather. And I would just like strut around, I think. I would just like be feeling myself.
I support that. Yeah, that's the thing. We're just like, I don't know. I'd just wander around as you. I'd just be you. I don't...
Did we both just kind of say that we like were interested in just like trying on each other's like aesthetic basically for a day? That's just kind of the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We would just be in drag for a day.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says about us, but it seems symmetrical and good to me.
It does. Okay. Oh no. This question. Once again, from my partner. Imagine the sounds you... Okay, I'm going to take one more time. I don't know how this sentence works.
Are you still recording and everything? Everything's
yes.
Good? Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm.
Imagine the sounds you make when you have a really good orgasm. Now replace those sounds with incredibly realistic animal noises. Which animal noises do you pick? Meowing, quacking, oinking, roaring, etc.
Oh, I love these provided examples.
Oh, me too. Really, because...
That was just the garnish on that beautiful question. Wow, wonderful. Thank you, Ash. Wow, what a beautiful, interesting question.
I probably would go with roaring just for the gender feels. And toppy feels, but like I feel like
your gender is lion.
Yes, except when I'm bottoming, I'd probably meow.
Yeah, I'm also feeling distinctly different
sounds when bottoming.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely feel it has to be some kind of cat for me. I'm just unsure whether it'd be like a really tiny kitten or like a mature cat or even like a mountain lion or something. Which is just, I guess, an age play metaphor. It's just a metaphor for the fact that sometimes I do age play and sometimes I don't. I don't know.
Yeah, your kitten sounds just age play too. It's fine.
I bet the cats can sound like kittens if they need or want to.
They can. Do you know that meowing is a thing that kittens only do in the wild? Like, they grow out of it, but they continue to do it for humans because humans like it.
Yeah, sorry, that just really cracked me up. You said it in the tone of, like, someone in, like, an after-school special who's like, yeah, actually, I read a book on exactly that topic.
Because I was funny. So excited to have a fun fact. You don't understand, I have ADHD.
Oh, having a fun fact at the right moment is just such a satisfying feeling.
It's like, did you know? I heard it on a podcast.
Yep. Oh gosh, my face is quite warm. That's what right.
We're here for.
Okay, is it my turn to say a question?
I think so.
Okay. If you could create your own sex toy that was a combination of two other toys, what would it be? Frankentoy.
Ooh.
I love this question.
The answer is I would put the magic wand motor in something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would probably be the Vixen Gambler.
Wow.
Because the Outlaw is the one I use most often, but that's actually kind of a spotty, which is not a thing I think about wanting vibration for.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Gambler is just fucking huge, and it is generally a thing you just sit down on, so putting like a ridiculously powerful motor in that just feels right.
Wow.
It's already a thing that's overwhelmingly huge, so it should also shake you to your core, I feel like.
That basically is similar to people who try to insert the magic wand.
Yo, I've done that. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of like a few people who've done it. I've always been like, I don't think I really could physically do that. But it sounds like it would be similar in dimensions, I think, because that's really a huge toy, right?
Yeah, the Gambler is about 3 inches across, and the Magic Wand is, I think, 2.5. And so the Magic Wand is, like, fist adjacent. If you want to take the Magic Wand by what's called a Swan Wand, it's roughly the same size and about as powerful and a lot more ergonomic, and you can take that and then have the magic wand externally, and then your clit is surrounded internally and externally by magic wand motors, and it's fucking magic. And anyway,
I totally forgot about the swan wand. That vibe fucking rules.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The buttons are in the stupidest place in the world, and they work completely counterintuitively because they are contrary to everything else in the industry. But its motor is fantastic, so you should buy it anyway.
I was once on the bus, and I had my swan wand in my bag, and I thought that the bus was rumbling like how it does on, like, bumpy terrain. And then I realized it was just the swan wand was on at full blast in my bag, and I was like, oh, no. Because of the shitty controls, it can turn up so easily to full blast. I'm sure there's a travel log.
I adore you.
Okay, wait. I had a thought on this. I want, like, the fucking sculptures double trouble for the penetrative part, but I want the handle to be, like, the knob essence, what's that thing called? The G-spotty, the fling?
Fling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the two, finger holes. Just because accessibility, that would be so much easier for me.
That handle is fantastic.
It's so good. I wish every toy had that handle.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Knob Essence really nailed it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. All right. This one's one of the ones I came up with because I did my homework. If you lived somewhere big enough to have a dungeon or a room just for sex, what would you put in it? What would it look like?
Ooh. The Christian Grey problem.
Yes.
Did you see we got a press release about the new Christian Grey book?
I laughed, and then I thought about how you would react, and then I laughed some more, and then I dismissed the notification and went about my day.
I had two thoughts. I was like, first of all, I need to review that book, and secondly, can we get E.L. James on our podcast?
No, because I will.
We couldn't respect ourselves.
Well, yes, and because I respect her enough to not be rude to her face, but do not trust my ADHD were you to sit her in front of me and have her say something to me and require me to respond. Mm-hmm. And I want to set us up for success.
She would say something like, women can easily have orgasms from Kegel balls. Or like, DS relationships should have contracts. I'm sorry.
Can you just tell me a little bit about, like, where that opinion comes from?
Yeah. Has E.L. James... I'm not going to go there. I don't know. I don't think we need to go there.
The things my face is doing.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's just making so many shapes before I even land on a word I can say. Anyway.
Okay. What would I put in a sex room?
Yes.
Definitely, mm-hmm. I'm going to want a spanking bench.
Yes.
I don't know why I said it with that weird emphasis. I don't normally say it like that. Just hi. A spanking bench. And I'm going to want a velvet sofa and a wooden desk. That's furniture. Maybe I'll have more thoughts about other stuff. What are you thinking for kind of like larger scale stuff?
So I would absolutely need a spanking bench.
Yeah.
I have already been shopping for one because that is the one piece of furniture I'm going to get for my apartment because I have room for one.
This is so on-brand.
Small one. and a St. Andrew's cross, which is the other thing. I've seen a couple of options. I don't know if I'd be able to make one work in here, but I very well might try. and the thing is, every time I use a St. Andrew's cross, I go, I don't love getting beaten standing up, but they're just, they're so hot and they look so good. Aesthetic, so I would definitely make porn on it. I would absolutely make porn on it.
It's also just cool decor, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have some sort of quite large bed with hard points around the side. I would have some sort of suspension rig. And I would have a lot of wall racks for implements so that I can easily just grab things off the wall when I'm topping and playing. Mm-hmm. I would want to be able to this is all the gear I'm playing with for this scene and have it on a rack near one of my pieces of furniture.
Ooh, this is so like James Bond villain in my mind, the aesthetic of this.
just highly functional.
Yeah, everything's...
And probably black and purple.
Oh, I was picturing like black and silver and red, and it's just very like...
Well, that's the color scheme in my room, see, yeah. Is the thing. That's what my bedroom is going to be. Mm. But I love purple. And red is my partner's color, so I probably wouldn't claim it for my dungeon because they would have a room that would probably be black and red, and I would feel like I was copying them.
Wow.
Yeah, because I have to be, like, a special individual magical creature.
Hmm. I want stirrups, like, one of those, like, hanging, I don't know what they're called. It's so
the slings,
maybe.
Yes. Yeah. I love getting fisted in those things. I would absolutely have one of those, too.
Yeah, that's great. I feel like that would be good for me even on, like, a bad pain day. It seems kind of chill. Sort of like a hammock.
Especially if you can get something to just like have a little computer bench on it and something if you need it. I could totally work in one of those things. They're so cozy.
That's so funny. And I want a cut queening chair. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I think so.
Or are they just called queening chairs?
I think they're just queening chairs. I think you might be right.
Yeah, I'm conflating two things that are not the same thing.
You could just definitely happen to cut queen and while in queen.
Did we answer the question?
I think so.
Okay.
I got distracted looking back at the questions, trying to figure out what's left in case we have to ask more because I forgot to check them off as we go.
That's okay. I have a bunch more.
Great. I have a bunch more too.
Okay. If you started dating a vanilla person who was curious about kink but didn't know where to start, what act would you try with them first?
It would deeply depend on the person. I would have a conversation with them, and because they would have some sort of inclination towards something, right? I would sit down and talk to them about the things that were hot for me. I'd probably not sit down like rapid fire, right? Mm-hmm. But throughout the course of our relationship, I would have conversations about the things that turn me on. I would watch TV shows and be like, oof, that's kind of hot. And they'd be like, what? And I'd be like, well, you know, this thing and that other thing. And like, I feel this way, right? And I'd see their reactions and the things that I see them just, you know, start to kind of compute a little bit more than others, right? The things that after I explain it, they go, I kind of get that, you know, right? Those things, that's where I would start. So it wouldn't be about an act. It would be about the person.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's such a good and complicated answer. I feel like that's like your whole kink is like figuring that shit out. Yes. Yeah.
People are very fascinating puzzles, amongst other things.
I was going to just say a literal kink that mm-hmm. came to mind for me. I would start with spanking because, first of all, I'm into it pretty strongly. So I feel like that's a good place to start from. I don't want to like mm-hmm. introduce them with something that I'm not into because I can't really like guide them very well through that and why that's hot mm-hmm. and stuff. And also, it's just very literal. It's just really tangible. It's so mm-hmm. physical. You don't have to get into the psychological stuff. It doesn't have to be super complicated. You don't need any particular skill to get started, at least. And you can use implements if you don't want to use your hand. Like, I feel like it's just very kind of an easy jumping off point as long as the person doesn't have any kind of like squick about it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm.
And it's also like very clear. You can very distinctly like this is the time when we are having this scene, right? And the kink turns on and the kink turns off again, and you can discuss the kink and whatever. That was honestly, when you first asked the question, that was also what came to mind for me. And like, logistically, probably would be where I would start. But I was like, I don't know, but like, you know, you're dating some theater kid. Sure, maybe you start with role play, right? You know, like.
Yeah.
You know, you start with the things that kind of make their eyes twinkle. Because also, like, the thing is, I'm dating a vanilla person. There's some kinks in there. There's some.
Yeah.
I don't know how long they're going to be vanilla. If especially if they're attracted to me. I don't know. Like, I don't tend to attract the vanillas.
Yep.
My turn for a question, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, hang on. Ooh. So, if you were suddenly given access to a fully, like, hyper-realistic VR sex machine thing that you can hop into a room and just, like, the Star Trek, I am not a Star Trek nerd, holodeck thing, I think. But, you know, you are able to teleport to a... experience something and come back and like nothing had happened. What fantasy would you input into the machine first? What would you go experience first?
This is such a good question. And I really am concerned that all of my answers will basically be me sexually harassing a celebrity on my podcast. I'm a little bit worried about that. So I need a moment.
I have bad news for you about some of the other questions we've written down here.
Oh, I mean, my brain is different when I'm high, and this ethical line that I'm drawing, I don't actually know if this is when I'm sober, my ethical line. I'm not really sure why. I don't know. They say you get paranoid when you're high. Because realistically, I probably want to have sex with one of two people. Oh, Bex, can you guess? Do you want to try to guess?
I mean, Jake from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I was thinking Andy Samberg, but I think you get the point for sure.
Yes. I don't. Listen, sober me knew his name. High me does not.
Okay. I forgot and, that and you actually sober don't, me you knows don't know incredibly celebrities names few a lot,
celebrities. So. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. To you, essentially, they are the same right. entity.
Right. Jake is also in a band. It's. That just tracks with his character, let's be honest.
Yep.
In college, he was in Lonely Island. It's fine. I don't know who the second would be. I don't know.
The second would be Olivia Wilde.
Oh, yeah. I know that. Yeah. Because I should have known that one, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that she made me gay.
Yes,
she's,
correct.
I feel like... You have a duty when faced with this question to fuck the person who made you gay, if there is such a person, which sometimes there very clearly is.
Yeah.
Went awry with them.
She is also one of the people who made me gay, so.
I love that we have this in common. I think people of a certain generation and a certain cultural set of interests all have this in common.
But I love that I got there through House and you got there through the OC.
The OC, but then also House again. It was like falling back in love with your ex-girlfriend. It was like, oh, it's you again and you're bi again.
I know. God. So good.
Okay, but what are you doing in the VR machine?
I know. I came need to up further with the describe. Question.
I really don't think I need to.
Yeah, no, that's clear. I know. I came up with the question and I didn't think about it at all.
That's good. That's what we want here.
I guess. I suppose. No, I think I would do something like weird and impossible. like sex in space or something low stakes, not a thing that I like a lifelong fantasy. Because a lot of my like go-to fantasies are hella edgy and experiencing them right away would be a lot, not how I want to test out the machine, you know?
Yeah, especially when you don't know how realistic it's going to be and how much you're going to forget that it's not real.
Right. Yeah. Right. Maybe figure out how this doohickey works a few times before we're trying out some like CNC in a dark alley. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah. What if you try to do a knife play scene and it glitches and then the guy's just like actually running after you and you're like, no.
No. So.
I'm too high.
So yeah, probably some, probably some like exhibitionist thing, sex in an incredibly public place, or with a high risk of getting caught because the stakes are actually quite low. It's just a game now. It's just, I don't know, can we get away with having... I know what I would do. I would go to fucking Disney World and try and get away with fucking in as many places in Disney World as I could without risking getting banned.
This is the most Bex possible thing. I wish that somebody would make a video game that, like, allowed you to fuck in different places at Disney World. I think that I don't know why. I feel that that would do very well.
There was an old Kinect game that let you walk around Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Kinect was a nightmare to control, but it was a pretty accurate representation of Disneyland.
Someone could just clone that and just add in some fucking.
Just replace the mini games with porn. But like porn mini games.
I love that we're saying, like, just do it. It'll be so easy. I'm like married to an app developer. It's not easy, folks. It's not easy. It would be funny, though. We answered that question.
Yes, we did. But whose was it and what was it?
It was yours.
Great. Your turn then.
Yes. If you could keep your life but have someone else's sex life, whose would you want?
Oh. Is it cheating to say my partner's?
That's so perverted. I love you. That's so exactly you. That's it. Your immediate thought.
Oh no.
That's so funny.
Yes, but I also, there's some complicated implications about my metamor there.
Hmm.
That I would have to really sit down.
Interesting.
And
that's a tricky one.
And contemplate. Because the thing is, I don't know that I would, like, if I was forced to choose someone, like, I like my sex life. I picked it for a reason. I don't want to trade it away. Mm-hmm. But if I have to trade it away, I could trade it with my partner and still get more or less the same sex life, mm-hmm. except we're poly. And that things just got complicated.
Yeah. You're having some feelings.
Anyway, that's my answer because I'm not going to get a better one in the next 30 seconds.
My brain, again, tried to sexually harass a celebrity. I'm feeling conflicted about it. Because my first thought was like, well, I want to be the partner. I want to have the sex life of the partner of some person who I have a crush on.
Mm.
But then I'm like, I don't know if that's in line with what this question is asking, like philosophically.
Mm.
Like, is it asking just sex life quality overall? Or is it asking like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that actual person would be in that experience. Am I too high for this question?
Well, the thing is, like, I don't know. I wouldn't pick a celebrity because the novelty of fucking a celebrity once doesn't, like, we know nothing really about what they're into. So you would just be signing up for a fucking lotto of a sex life.
This is such a good point, and nobody talks about this, and thank you for bringing it up.
If I were to pick someone else, like if I were, as you were talking, I was thinking about it. If I were to pick, okay, I have to swap my sex life with someone else, I would pick a porn star, like another porn performer who I know, whose sex life I've seen a decent chunk of. So I would probably pick Peter Hook and or Spittle, because their sex life looks a similar to, like, their kink looks adjacent to what my partner and I do, and like I'm into a lot of the things that they do, and I would be very into fucking either or both of them for quite a while. So yeah, if I had to swap, that's probably
I wonder if I could give myself a fetish by doing this. Like, if I pick someone who's a fetishist, will I have that fetish?
Probably.
Because then I would probably pick someone with an interesting, to me, fetish.
You going to be Dick Wound?
No, I don't. He goes, I love his kinks and find them very interesting. I don't want to go that far with my life or my death. No, I would pick someone who is like really, really into like rope bondage or like hypnosis or leather or something. I don't know, something interesting. I was just curious what that's like, I guess. Thank you so much for joining us for this very intoxicated episode of the Dildorks. I can't believe we've done 5 of these. It's really quite odd. Quite a strange thing to do on the internet.
It really is.
I've been Kate Sloan. I write a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I have a book coming out that I think you're going to love. It's called 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do. And you can pre-order it at 101kinkythings.com. Look, I did the read perfectly of that one part.
Look at you go.
Didn't fuck up at all, which actually I might have. I'll hear it in the edit if I did. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff, Bex?
I'm Bex. You can find my writing and information about my workshops at BexTalkSex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. I'm also on Twitter at BillyLore. That's where you can find all my porn if the extended ad in the beginning of the show was not enough. Might as well plug it here, too. I plug it over there, too. Anyway, together we are the Dildorks. You can find us at the Dildorks on Twitter and at thedildorks.com. You can also find us at patreon.com/thedildorks if you want to throw money at me without seeing my holes.
I guess that's always an option, isn't it?
Certainly. I accept money in all forms.
I thought you were going to say in all holes. I was concerned. yikes. You know, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Thank you so much to, oh my God, I was about to say thank you so much to Patreon. What's his name?
Protodome.
Thanks, Patreon. Fuck. Jesus Christ. I've never done that before in my life. Patreon. Thank you so much to Protodome, whose song graces this show every week. Thank you so much to Amy, who did our beautiful logo. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye. That's so weird that it's like enough muscle memory that I can actually be so fucked up and still do it. And do it like kind of pretty good.
Yeah, no, that was pretty good. That's it is. We've been doing this a very long time.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good episode though. This was a good one.
I think so. I agree, yeah.
Our partners will certainly enjoy it. I mean, they made it, but
yeah,
this is like that. This is like if they could create a Dildorks episode. They were both like, here, just, you know, you're doing a very silly episode. Here, I have some questions for you. Some things I would enjoy hearing you answer. Okay.
All right.
Can I tell you one of these questions that is not a sex question, but may still, so like does not need to be answered on the show, but may still delight you. Sure. Ash wrote it.
Sure.
It is the last one Ash wrote. If you could put wigs on any species of animal, which animal would you choose?
I mean, I think it's debatable whether that's about dating. Why are you putting the wig on it? I was creeping up toward a Betty Dodson joke there, and then I just didn't quite get there. I love a wigged cat. I used to try to put hats on my cat, and she would get so mad.
I love that. I love that for you.
She had a little cowboy hat. It was the best, but she would never wear it. She would get so pissed off.
Oh my God.
Rightfully so. That's amazing.
That's still delightful.
Am I signing off?
Yeah, I think so.